With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
U.S. ethanol production jumping to 1.07 million barrels per day. That's about a 45 million gallon daily pace, and it's running ahead of last year and the three-year average. That's according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. But even so, four-week average eased just a touch, reminder that plants still pacing margins. Inventories held essentially flat, 22.7 million barrels, with most regions drawing down while the West Coast built supplies to a 25-week high. Gasoline supply, a proxy for driver demand, rebounded week over week, supporting blending, but remains below last year. Refiners and blenders pulled in slightly less ethanol on the week, yet exports were the standout, surging to an estimated 138,000 barrels per day, helping move product with no imports reported in more than a year. The net result is more output, steady stocks, and stronger exports, pointing to firmer plant demand into fall. Stronger plant runs, also good news for corn demand and local bases. Well, fertilizer choices for fall and spring hinge on China's export stance, U.S.-Russian sanctions risk, and tight global ammonia supplies. These are factors that could swing budgets within weeks. Josh Linville of StoneX says China plans to halt urea exports after October 15th. Holding the cutoff would firm prices, while an extension would push more tons into the market and soften values. India just issued what it calls 2025's final urea tender, likely drawing aggressive offers, especially if China stays open. Urea to grain economics have improved but remain high. The biggest flashpoint, UAN. About half of U.S. UAN imports come from Russia, so any U.S. block would tighten an already thin system, keeping UAN's premium over other nitrogen. NH3 demand looks strong as the cheapest N per pound amid global tightness. Phosphates stay elevated with tariff headwinds and potential China curbs. Potash, though, flat with certain fall pull. Well, a new USDA Ag Marketing Service study finds that big shipping alliances, these are groups of ocean carriers that share ships and schedules, now move over 70% of America's container exports. Even as export volumes have leveled off since peaking in 2015, report says the real-world effects on exporters small. A few fewer ship visits on some routes, slightly tighter space, and roughly $20 more per container on average. Now, for farm shippers, this is hay, specialty grains, meats, dairy powders, almonds, the impact isn't worse than for other goods. Study notes that import routes may be a different story because they move larger volumes and higher value products. And households pinching pennies, turning to ultra-cheap, few-ingredient, quote-unquote, struggle meals as grocery costs remain a top pain point. An August AP poll found a majority of adults now call groceries a major source of stress, and many have used buy now, pay later for essentials. Of course, searches for struggle meal hit a record high in September, reflecting a wave of budget cooking content. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
President Trump continuing to talk about A, aid for farmers, and B, a big blockbuster trade deal with China at the end of the month.
Arlen Suderman with StoneX.
Now, first of all, the aid for farmers. We're expected to get details tomorrow on October the 7th from the administration on what that aid will look like. Generally believed to be between $10 and $14 billion. From the standpoint of the commodity markets, when you get an infusion of cash into the farmer's hand, he tends to delay his marketings. That tends to firm up the basis levels, the difference between the futures in the cash market, and keep grain off of the marketplace. And so as a result, that could delay any type of significant farmer selling. So that's one thing to keep in mind going forward. The second part of it is this deal with China that President Trump is promising when he meets with President Xi of China at the APEC conference in South Korea at the end of the month. Now, the question still is, will President Xi agree to some type of big commodity trade agreement ahead of getting a decision from the Supreme Court about the legality of Trump's tariffs? That decision is expected to come sometime early to mid-November. The opening arguments for the case are scheduled for, I believe, is November the 5th, with a decision to come in the days that follow. The court's trying to accelerate that decision. But let's say that we get there for after the decision. If the decision is against President Trump, and I think it's 50-50 which way that decision may go, if it's against President Trump, then President Xi has less incentive to sign a deal. If it's in favor of President Trump, and let's say you could still make an argument that Xi may want to hold out because he plays the long game. He may want to hold out for the midterm elections to see if President Trump loses Congress in the midterms, which is the historical tendency that the party in the White House loses votes in Congress in the midterm elections. And the Republicans, frankly, have very few votes that they can afford to lose in Congress. And so President Xi, who plays the long game, he looks at these things in matters of centuries. We look at them in terms of election cycles. He may simply want to hold out and bear the pain and not have to give up anything, so to speak.
But on this assistance to farmers, ranking member of the House Ag Committee, Angie Craig.
The money is not there to really address the pain that farmers across all the commodities groups and specialty crop growers are facing. But the administration seems intent on moving what we're hearing is $12 to $13 billion, which is what they have access to in payments to family farmers, the economic assistance. The challenge with that is it's going to pit one commodity group over another, most likely at those levels. Specialty crop growers will likely be completely left out. And at the end of the day, we're still trying to understand how they're planning to do this, because the CCC only had about $4 billion in it, and we'll see what they do, but it seems like they may try to dip into money that is there for ARC and PLC, as well as for CRP payments, and you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. So we'll see what they come out with, but what I'm hearing is going to be devastating, and frankly, Tony, if their assistance to family farmers is a penny less than the $20 billion they gave to Argentina from taxpayer dollars, I think that's going to be a slap in the face to family farmers across this country.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We are actually on an upwards trajectory with canola acres, and that's a good thing.
Mike Stom is a canola breeder with Kansas State University, says acres are growing across the U.S.
We weren't there 3 or 4 years ago, but with Schuyler coming into the region now and establishing the crush facility in Goodland, that has certainly sparked interest across the state, and definitely excited about that. It's having a direct impact on acres, and we still see a lot of canola planted after wheat, and that's, I think, what we're going to continue to see in the future, but we're starting to see acres now that are kind of moving into some different regions now in the state. More so in central and even into northwest Kansas now. And so that's going to present some different rotations that we maybe traditionally haven't planted into. So potentially some wheat, sorghum, fallow acres that canola will be going into. In central Kansas, you know, where we see a lot of double crop acres, we could potentially see, you know, soybeans being planted after canola next summer after we harvest, and then moving back into another spring crop after that soybean crop, or back into wheat. So it's presenting some new opportunities for the crop across the state.
And speaking of Schuyler, Senior Vice President for Special Projects is Ed Prosser on the renewed interest in canola.
If you go back 10 years, there was a time when there were 30 or 40 or 50,000 acres between Oklahoma and Kansas. And then as processing went away, you can get down to, in 2019 or 2021, I think we got down to almost 5,000 acres between the two states. We believe that we're on a trajectory to plant somewhere between 75 and 100,000 acres in Kansas and Oklahoma in 2025, 2026. The plant could use 400,000 acres, and I think there'll probably be new entrants in the market that will probably pull also out of the central and southern plains. So canola is kind of having a moment. You know, it's a high oil content seed in a market that's valuing oil, particularly around our new renewable fuels policy. So this is a part of the reason not only that we got in with K-State, but redeveloped a plant here in Kansas, is because of the belief that there is room for another cash crop on the high plains. And I guess maybe in today's market environment, not only room, but a need for another cash crop on the high plains. And the idea that the central and southern plains could participate in an oilseed boom, canola really seems to be the vehicle. And Mike's helping that happen, and K-State's helping that happen.
There is a tight planting window, and producers will have to manage pests early, says Spom.
I just want to reiterate to, you know, the listeners today, and especially if you're growing canola or plan to grow canola, just be very observant. And if you have armyworms present in your area, it may not hurt to spray ahead of planting. Even they can overcome a very tender small canola crop very easily. They're not only just affecting canola, they can affect wheat, they can affect the other crops that we grow, but you really have to be vigilant. And so I strongly want to emphasize that, to just be on the lookout. You know, with wheat, one of the keys is you can delay planting a little bit. With canola, we don't necessarily have that luxury, because we've kind of run out of our planting window for Kansas. That's typically September 1 to September 30. So we're past that now. Maybe it's a little bit of a blessing in disguise that we've had rain, and that's delayed planting somewhat, especially further south in the state. So we just have to be vigilant with the armyworms, because we really don't have an opportunity to replant if they become an issue. So definitely keep an eye on things.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about Cotton Research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
There are strategic reasons why an administration would put in place targeted tariffs. China steel dumping in Minnesota comes to mind.
Ranking member of the House Ag Committee for Minnesota, Angie Craig.
But this does not seem to be strategic in the slightest. And it was wholly predictable. I, in fact, predicted it from the start. And it was simply based on history. $30 billion in farm assistance was needed in the first Trump administration. But farmers were in better shape in the first Trump administration. And so what we're seeing right now is just truly extraordinary from this administration. They're, you know, bailing out Argentina with taxpayer dollars. And at the same time, China is moving its business for beans to Argentina. I've just never seen anything like this in my life. And the truth is, no matter what we do to help family farmers at this point, it's probably not going to be enough to undo the damage. And the truth is also, we're going to be right back where we are today, a year from now, unless something changes from an administration policy on tariffs. I don't see a bunch of manufacturing coming back to the United States at this point. I don't see our national security risk decreasing or our food security risk decreasing. And as you said before, you know, exports are good. We want those markets. We want expansion of domestic markets for corn and soybeans and other commodities. And we want to find other countries, too, to sell our products as well.
She says it's hard to be optimistic, but can be hopeful for the future.
Look, if we really want to correct what's happening from a tariff perspective, we need to focus, Democrats and Republicans, on what are the market opportunities for our growers? What are the export markets that we have to work to get back? What are the domestic markets that the administration and Republicans and Democrats could work together to expand to help make up for some of these lost sales? And I'm thinking specifically about year-round sales of E15. I'm thinking specifically about a greater focus on biofuels in our country, on sustainable aviation fuel in our country. There are domestic market opportunities that if the Trump administration is going to shut down some of our export trading partners, business with them, then we've got to turn to aggressively expanding our export market. So, you know, it's hard to be optimistic right now. I know that if Democrats and Republicans would come to Washington, and Republicans on the House side aren't even here, lock us in a room and tell us we're not going to get paid and we can't come out until we get a deal done, that a deal would be done. And, you know, I didn't grow up in politics. I worked in the private sector for 22 years. And for the life of me, I still don't understand or comprehend how people can just stay at home and not work here in Washington when the government is shut down and not even reach out to talk to each other. It's, you know, this is just not how the real world works. You get in a room and you mediate and you work together and you, you know, compromise probably to the point where you're both pissed off. But then you get something done. And that's what I'd like to see. I don't know if we're going to see it. It's a hell of a time here in Washington.
Ranking member, House Ag Committee, Angie Craig. It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
In the past 3 years, we've been dealing with all kinds of diseases across the dairy industry, both in the U.S. and EU.
Director of Dairy Marketing Insight for StoneX, Matt Donay.
In the U.S., we've had novel things like bird flu showing up in the dairy cows for the first time ever. Now, luckily, bird flu here in the U.S. hasn't been much of an issue this year. But the new concern is around the New World screwworm. This is a parasitic fly that lays its eggs in open wounds of warm-blooded animals. And now this is a little bit graphic, but the eggs hatch and then the larvae effectively eat their hosts. The screwworm used to be endemic to the southern half of the U.S., so we've dealt with this before, but it was eradicated from North America back in the 1970s. It's now making a comeback. It's come back up through Latin America, and it's been found just 70 miles south of the border between Mexico and the U.S. So there's a decent chance that it makes it into the U.S. From the experts that I've read, they think it's a 50-50 chance that it eventually makes it into the U.S. What impact it will have on milk production if it does get here is really hard to say. It depends on how widespread it becomes and what measures we have to treat it. The other issue could be that the government puts into place restricted movement zones where cows and cattle cannot be moved around the U.S. as easily as they typically are. And that might be an issue for the industry as well. So there's fears, there's legitimate fears. But it's really hard to say what impact it will have if it makes it here.
And what is the impact of trade and tariffs?
A customer asked me a very similar question earlier this week. They said, what have been the noticeable impacts of the trade wars this year? And or what impact have the trade wars had? And frankly, it's really hard to point to any real large impacts. We did have some month-to-month volatility. When China put an additional 100%, more than 100% tariff on U.S. dairy imports, we did see U.S. dairy exports to China collapse for a month. But then when China dropped those additional tariffs, we saw U.S. exports to China surge. We also have a little bit of a strange anomaly with butter trade flow statistics between Europe and the U.S., where we're probably going to see some strange movements in butter import numbers for the U.S. But if you zoom out and look at things at an annual level, it looks like U.S. imports will probably be a little bit lower than they otherwise would have been since the U.S. has had additional tariffs on our imports. And our exports might be slightly lower than they otherwise would have been just given the uncertainty around the trade policy. But there isn't much in terms of massive noticeable impacts at an annual level. And in fact, when you look at some of these commodities, our cheese exports, U.S. cheese exports are going to be record high this year. U.S. casein exports look record high. Our butter exports, they're not quite going to be record high, but we're talking about 100, 200% increases in butter exports thanks to very cheap U.S. cheese and butter prices this year.
He looks at the outlook for dairy.
From a long-term perspective, the U.S. population grows about 1% per year. Per capita dairy consumption grows by about 0.5% per year. So if U.S. milk production is growing at about 1.5%, the rule of thumb is that's a pretty balanced market. Over the last couple of months here, U.S. milk production has been growing over 3%. And with the expansion in the dairy herd that we've seen, we're probably going to continue to grow over 3%, at least through the end of this year.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So when you wash your synthetic laundry, washing all laundry, you are going to emit microfibers into the waterways.
Kara Bishop is with Plains Cotton Growers, talks about microplastics.
Those microfibers cannot be filtered out because they are so tiny. No filtration system can get rid of everything. And so then you have these particles in the water. Some are made of natural fiber like cotton, and some are made of synthetic fiber like polyester. And the cotton microfibers, we know that they break down in 1 to 3 months, which is a similar rate like an oak leaf. If an oak leaf fell out of a tree into the water, it breaks down in 1 to 3 months. So does cotton fibers. But the polyester microfibers, which are still sitting in the water, they can last anywhere from 20 to 200 years, if not longer than that. We have found them in all kinds of, you know, 81% of urban waterways that were tested for plastic came up positive for plastic. We're drinking it. We're eating it. We know that we consume a credit card size worth of plastic every week. We know that humans have the weight of a plastic spoon worth of plastic in their brains. While we don't know all the health implications of that, I think we can all assume that plastic in our brain is not a good thing. There has been plastic found that disrupts the endocrine systems. So our children, when we talk about early puberty, a lot of times that was attributed to hormones in meat or something like that, or hormones in the eggs, even though none of that was true. The public persona was, oh, it's from all these hormones or GMOs or whatever, when really it was from microplastics. And so what's exciting is that Robert F. Kennedy and his Make America Healthy Again initiative is focusing a lot on microplastics. Environmentalists are focusing a lot on microplastics. And so we're making some interesting bedfellows here as cotton enthusiasts, because we're able to find commonality with some of these other groups that would never listen to us before, which is really exciting. And I know I'm talking a long time, but I do think it's interesting and important that we realize that we need to be on the forefront of this issue. I kind of compare it to cigarette smoking. 30, 40 years ago, people didn't know that smoking cigarettes was unhealthy for you, right? And so we had doctors smoking in the doctor's offices as they treated patients. There was nothing wrong with that. And now we've discovered that cigarette smoking can be unhealthy, and it can be an unhealthy practice. And so now it's no longer allowed indoors in most facilities, right? Now it's regulated to a point where it's not as, the exposure is not as bad. So while people still smoke to some degree, the health implications have greatly decreased because not everybody does anymore. I see that to be the same way with microplastics. We will get to a point where we will really be able to capitalize on this issue and provide natural solutions like cotton to people, to where we dilute the significant plastic pollution problem in our country and in our world. Plastic pollution is everywhere. And I think that the more we switch out apparel in our closets, the more intentional we become when we purchase apparel. I think a lot of this mass consumption trends that you see on social media, where everybody does all these huge shopping hauls, or they buy stuff that they don't even know if they like, and then they put it in a landfill 2 weeks later, that needs to significantly decrease. We need to be more intentional in our shopping. We need to be more intentional in checking our labels, because we don't want to be the ones that are contributing to a plastic pollution issue that our kids and grandkids will not be able to recover from.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.